Thank you, Brother Sammy. Thank you for trusting me with the flock. The Lord holds you accountable and responsible to Him for us. We do count ourselves part of the ongoing ministry of this church in the way of what we call mission work. I got my title the other day. We was in a big outfit, and the fellow said, Brother Carter is a very active ministry in rural missions evangelism in the United States. Oh, I'm going to write that down. That's on the title. I like that. But then we do go to other places also. Thank you for your helps. We actually just came back from, finished up, wound up in upstate New York, but we was in some other places up there. And seeing the beauties of the Lord, ideal time of the year for that. And then wound up in a meeting with some brethren that have started a new church in the Adirondacks, in the lower Adirondacks, in upstate New York. And of course, they like you. They think they're the only poor beleaguered group of gospel-believing grace people. And it's easy for us to get that Elijah syndrome, the juniper tree experience, you know. I alone remain. Now, people that really believe in the grace of God and what's presented as election according to grace in the Bible are scarce and few. But let me assure you, figuratively speaking, God has 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal.
Amen.
I know y'all are unique in your little pitiful situation here, but God's got other people across the land serious about worshiping Him and serving Him. Mm-hmm. One other note, and then this is all I can say, Brother Sam, because my heart will get there and I won't be able to go on with what I think to minister this morning. But out of the Lesser Antilles, we got some fresh word, and the building's going along really well. The last building at Watton Waven, way back in the mountains. And for that, we're thankful and grateful. Thank you for helping a lot in that. Those of you that are faithful people of God and givers, you'll get before the Lord in His judgment one day, and He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you'll have to say, when did we do that?
Yes.
And the Lord's keeping a good account, a good record. Mm-hmm. Those brothers and sisters will meet us there, and we'll rejoice evermore, giving our Lord the glory and the honor.
Yes.
Let me just, I know that y'all are very interested, very active in giving and participating. Let me say one more thing. The word missions, missionary, mission works is not in the Bible, old or new. Now the ministers are there and the ministry is there, but the title's not. And scripture picture for it is in the church where they were first called Christians, Antioch. And those brothers went out from the church, sent out in prayer and support and picked up along the way, and they came back to the church. And we used that when we was here with y'all together to give our report. So thank you for praying. Thank you for being very much a part in helping us together in praying. And I'll share with you one other thing, and then we'll go to Galatians chapter 5, if you'd like to be turning. Pray for us that the Word of God would have free course and be glorified even as it is among you.
Yes.
And that we'd be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, because not all men have faith. I know that sounds like a strange request in our modern time church, ain't it? But the Apostle, at least twice, recorded, he wrote that request to churches, that I'd be delivered from wicked, unreasonable, ungodly men, because not all men have faith. That what I quoted is in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. All right, if you found your place, thank you for praying for us, Brother Sammy, and you, brethren, thank you for praying, and we look forward to looking together. Would you like to stand? We read this portion of Scripture, Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read the entire chapter, but I do not intend for it to be a commentary on the chapter. Just a brief overview and then a very brief presentation of the fruit of the Spirit. Chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, yet, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Thank you. Be seated. I'm mindful of my need for the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. I can't strain enough in my natural brain and mouth to impart life and light. And you can't sit there and strain and receive light and life. It takes the Holy Ghost. And for that we're glad. Let us always remember that God's purpose in giving us His Spirit to dwell in us is to glorify and honor Him. And then in doing that, we reach out to others in love with His truth. This I say then, the apostle said, this I say then, verse 16, this is the true rule about overcoming temptations of your carnal mind and of avoiding the evils of strife and contention. This I say then, the fruit of the Spirit as we look at. This cannot be produced by the law. Cannot be produced by our flesh.
No.
The fruit of the Spirit I'm speaking of. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Chapter 3. How did you receive the Spirit? Now, long years ago, I had family. One of my cousin's wives was actually pastoring the church. It was the old Full Gospel Tabernacle, the front runners in our country of the modern so-called charismatics. And I asked them, posed them the question one time preaching, how did you receive the Spirit? Or how did you get the Holy Ghost? Everyone receives the Spirit the same way.
Mm-hmm.
By the hearing of faith. So here comes the Spirit. It cannot be produced by the law, and it cannot be produced by the flesh. Walk. The Christian life is often represented as a journey of walking. And the word walk in the Scriptures is always, almost always equivalent to living, a life lived. Our walk and our work and our will and our way. As you catch the W's there. In the Spirit, that is, live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Admit that power fully into your heart. Do not resist Him, but yield to all His leadings. What the Holy Spirit will produce in our life is pictured here, presented here in the Word of God. We'll take a brief glimpse at it. If a man would yield his heart, women folks also, and Christian children, would yield your heart to this Spirit, we'd be able to overcome all our carnal urges. Amen, Brother Carter, amen. Now listen, I can preach and I can say amen too. But if I have to do both of them, it just takes me long. Let me say that again. If a person, Christian, would yield their heart to the Holy Spirit, we will be able to overcome our carnal urges. And it's because of our resistance to the Holy Spirit that we fail and become defeated. We are too easily overcome by our corrupt passions of our natural mind. Never was a better, a safer, or a more easy rule given to overcome our corrupt and sensual desires than here furnished. That is, the fruit of God's Spirit. Still coming from verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Some people take this as a command. Brother Tyndale rendered it that way. But the more common interpretation, that is more significant, I think, is that adopted by the translators, our translators here in the Old King James. It's not merely a command, it's a statement of an important and deeply interesting truth. That the only way to overcome the corrupt desires and urges of our mind is by submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's not by philosophy. It's not by mere resolutions to resist these urges. Mm-hmm. It's not by the force of education and laws, not by doctrines or dogma or creed or credentials to the church. It's only by admitting in our souls this fire, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen. Yielding to Him. If we live under the influences God's Spirit, we need not fear the power of our sensual and corrupt urges of our own natural mind. Let me give you a little information that may be valuable to you. You have the mind of Christ as believers, but you've still got the same old goofy, stupid brain you've ever had. And everything you put in there is in there. A sight, a sound, a scent, that valve's open. So forget it. It's not that easily done. Visiting with the Air Force brethren in the back there, started walking up this way and had a flashback. It's still in there. Wake up sometime, not near like it used to be. Wake up in a sweat, grunting, kicking the cover. That stuff's still in there.
Yeah.
We have the mind of Christ, but we still have this goofy, stupid brain. It's vile. I was reading the Bible in what I call my devotional reading one morning. And Christ is going to come and change our vile bodies.
Yeah. Right.
That morning, the Holy Spirit carried my understanding of vile bodies above the eyebrows. Mm-hmm. From that time back, I thought of the vile body from the eyebrows down. But it includes this bowl of stuff up here we call brains.
Right.
And often, my brothers and sisters, by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, every thought is brought into.
Yes.
And that's the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So we have this fruit here that we'll look at. I think I intend to, hopefully, this will be brief. The fruit of the Spirit. Fruit. Let me say, I'll say it two or three more times. May close out with it. Fruit to be plucked and used by people. Is to be partaken of by others in need of this fruit. The fruit named is not our fruit, but of the Spirit in us. If we bear this fruit, we show that we have the Spirit. Those that bear this Spirit, we are not under the law. The law, against such there is no law. The law does not interfere with us here. We're dead to the law. And it's condemnation and damnation. We're alive in Christ through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Spirit, though implementing the law, we're not apart from law, implementing the law, the law is fulfilled fruit found no law interfering with them. We are dead to the law. We pleaded guilty. We died to the law. It slew us. The Spirit raised us up. We are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me say again. The fruit of the Spirit cannot be produced by the law. The fruit of the Spirit cannot be produced by our fleshy, carnal desires. Works. The contrast there, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know how much I'll get into that. But love is the first fruit of the Spirit. It's the greatest commandment, Matthew 22. It's the end of the commandment, 1 Timothy 1. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Did you see it there in verse 14? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's the evidence. Talking about the love. Now we've gone into the fruit of the Spirit concerning love. This fruit of the Spirit, it is by this fruit of love that all men know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. By this shall all men, not just fellow believers, but the sinner, the heathen outside, the religious hypocrite, the sensual fellow sitting on the tailgate of his truck drinking beer and listening to his dog bark. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You have love one for another. So, the God of love and peace shall be with you. I intend to close with that. Now, this is not just an influence upon our natural loves. Hope to see that this morning. But it's Christ Himself by the Spirit, another comforter, the wonderful mystery of the Godhead, if you will.
Yes.
One to dwell in us and be with us. Knowing that the love of God is the fruit of God's Spirit, not of the work of the flesh, we begin to see our need to obey these two commands. Grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Quench not the Spirit. As we do that, we invite trouble into our life. We invite serious, serious trouble into our life when we begin to quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. The comparison in a chapter here is between the flesh, works of the flesh, and the fruit of the Spirit. Making the comparison now, let me say again, the power of the law to deliver this in our life is impossible. It cannot. It's the power of the Spirit that produces this fruit in our life. So then we're dead and delivered from the law as a way of justifying ourselves or producing the fruit of the Spirit. It can't be done. Three, four things just run into my mind concerning the law. One of them is the Sabbath. It's so apparent there that Jesus Christ never taught that commandment. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. He didn't teach it. And that rest that's represented in that commandment cannot be produced outside of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And just one more thing about that. It's remember the Sabbath to make it holy, right?
No. Keep it holy.
We flip it over right away, try to work it out in our flesh and become hypocrites and Pharisees. The fruit of the Spirit, seeable, by definition, a seeable, usable, to be plucked, result of the Spirit within us. What the Holy Spirit produces, the fruit, is to glorify God in us and to minister to others through us. Christ uses trees to illustrate people. Make the tree good, make it bad. Now, a good tree will have an occasional bad fruit, but it's an outside influence. So, as the Spirit works in us, we are the servants of Jesus Christ. We're dead to sin. We reckon that to be so. We count it to be so. We figure up with God, count it up to be so. We are dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, some of you now generation age are here with us this morning. Some of the professionals of our hour, the worldly professions, call y'all the X generation. That don't fit y'all. I call y'all the now generation. Some of us are senior citizens plus, and we're going on now. Now it's your time. Now step up.
Right.
Now listen, the Christian life is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's life.
Amen.
The Christian life is not a philosophy. The Christian life is not just a way of life. It is life.
Amen.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. So Christianity is life. The rest of it is death. Christianity is life. Let me just say it to you like this in some of your vernacular. This is the in crowd. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. You brethren, everyone brethren, I went halfway around the world, got into Cold War, got hot, spent all of my money, and pickled a lot of my brains. Burned them. They're gone. They don't reproduce. Trying to get in with the in crowd and fit in. And God, by His power, by the gospel and the Holy Ghost of God, put me in the in crowd.
Amen.
This is the in crowd. Hallelujah.
That's right.
It's life. Life evermore. Life in Jesus Christ. Amen. I was making a point. Christianity is not just a list of do's and don'ts. It's life. And it's by the power of the Spirit who dwells within us to produce this. Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 6. And we're going to get into the fruit. Chapter 4, verse 6. But when the fullness... of time, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's the evidence. I got family, a lot of family is Pentecostal. I got some family that's United Pentecostal. They don't like that verse. Well, the God is there. And the evidence is there. What's the evidence of the Holy Spirit? Crying, Abba, Father.
Right.
It's in the book of Romans, the same wonderful truth. Here's the evidence of the Spirit in us. In every situation, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. May God help us to see that this morning. Now the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love. The love of God cannot be produced. Now some of you wrote this down, you can just say ditto. The fruit of the Spirit cannot be produced by the law.
Right.
It cannot be produced out of our natural humanity. It is impossible. We're going to look at this. You can write this down to those of you, and then we'll come back and put a little meat on it. There are three types of natural love. The fourth one is God's love, physical love, family love. I should have said love of family, love of friends, and then covered up, controlled, connected by that is God's love. Now these start out normal and healthy. I'm talking about love now. They start out normal and natural and healthy. However, without God's Spirit within us to control love, it will manifest itself in sinful, fallen flesh. Natural love is covered, connected, and controlled by God's love, by His Spirit. These family love, physical love, and love for friends is not fruit of the Spirit. The love that is the fruit of the Spirit is from God. So it's therefore it's not of us. Let me say it to you like this from the Scripture. It's not that we love God, but that He loved us.
Amen.
And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This love, speaking of the fruit of the Spirit, beginning with love, this love is from God. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Romans chapter 5. We receive it by the hearing of faith, Galatians 3. It is the power that works true love. Chapter 5, verse 6. Did you notice it there? For Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. What a blessing. Don't look at me like that. That just gets us out of our religious strength.
Yeah.
It's faith which worketh by love.
Amen.
And you don't have to reach into your deep resources and pull up. It's shed abroad, poured out, spilled out, poured all out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. that dwells within. The fruit of the Spirit cannot, you can put ditto down again, be produced by the law. It cannot be produced by our natural flesh. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you not made perfect by the flesh? It cannot be. Now, the fruit, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now we command it in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Same word is used in chapter 4. God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. We must consider that there is a love that God gives us that covers, connects, and controls our natural love that we have as humans. This love is the fruit of the Spirit. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, love not the world. So let's consider that first. We'll talk about our love as compared and contrasted with the love of God. First, we'll consider the term world. And then we'll look at the natural love as it's presented in the Bible. And then we'll see that our natural love must be and is. Saying again, just if you had a little stamp you could put there. Who said that before? This love, God's love, covers, connects, and controls our natural love. Our natural love is not abolished at conversion. Matter of fact, I think it's intensified. Fine tune. Love not the world. The term world seems to be used in the Scripture in three senses. Denoting the physical universe, the world as it appears to the eye, the world considered as the work of God, as His material creation. Secondly, the world as applied to people that reside in it. The world of mankind, if you will. Thirdly, as the dwellers on the earth are by nature without religion and act under a set of desires, aims, and principles that have reference only to this life, the term comes to be used with reference to that community. Without the Holy Spirit, we fit their will. That is, to the objects that they especially seek and the principles by which they are actuated, empowered, moved, motivated. That is, this life only. I got kin folks, close kin folks. Considered with reference to the first sense of the word, it is not improper to love the work of God, the world that He created, and is illustrated His perfections. And we don't want to get with some crowd, you know, and hug and worship a tree, but we admire. We just did. My wife and I went through, I don't know how many states. We were already in Maryland, right on the Delaware border, and we just made a loop up in that beautiful, beautiful New England area, and this, the beauty of God's handiwork, no man could do that. It didn't just evolve. That's a work of a God. And it illustrates Him. His creation illustrates Him. We may suppose that God loves His own works, and it's not wrong that we should find pleasure in their contemplation. Consider with reference to the second sense of the word, that is, people residing in the world, it's not wrong to love the people of the world with the love of benevolence and to have attachment to our kindred and friends who constitute a part of it, though they are not Christians. It's only with reference to the world as used in the third sense that the command here can be understood to be applicable, or that the love of the world is forbidden with reference to the objects sought, the desires that prevail, the principles that reign in that community, that lies for this world are contradistinguished from the world to come. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we of all men most miserable. So it comes down to us as a thing to be considered. The meaning is that we are not to fix our affections on worldly objects or what the world can furnish as our portion. With the Spirit, that which they do who live only for this world, regardless of the life to come. We are not to make this world the object of our chief affection. We are not to be influenced by the feelings and principles which prevail among those that do. Neither the things in the world. That's those things that are produced. That's part of that mindset and principles and agendas and movements of the world. But we may go in and out. Some of them, our affections are not tied to them. Love not neither the things that are in the world, excuse me, referred to in that next verse that we quoted. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the eye. This explanation shows what John meant by the things that are in the world. He does not say that we are in no sense to love anything that is in the material world. That we are to feel no interest in flowers, streams, forests, mountains, natural handiwork of God. That we have no admiration for what God has done as the creator of all these things. Does not mean that we cherish and have no love for any of the inhabitants of the world, our friends, our kinfolks, our countrymen, or that we are to pursue none of the objects of this life. Furthering our careers and education does not mean that. Thus surely does not mean using the things of this world, making provision for our families. But that we are not to love the things which are sought merely to pamper the appetite, please the eye, to promote the pride of living. Mm-hmm. You know the old Arkansas saying, fits in Mississippi, keeping up with the Burnses. I'm telling you. That's life in the past. We get caught there and we sell ourselves into slavery through the credit system.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to keep up with society.
Right.
These are the objects sought by the people of the world. These are not the objects to be sought by the Christian. We cannot love God in this part of the world.
Amen.
Now let's consider this natural love. All people love, but what and for what reason? She loves him. Well, I don't know. You know the saying, love is blinding. Well, here's the evidence here. My family still amazed how I came up with a choice Christian wife like Jewel. He loves that. And listen, fellas, before you get in the mindset you think combing a horse or polishing a truck will satisfy you, just remember what God did in the Garden of Eden. That don't satisfy fellas. You can have a fellow with the finest horse, the finest dog, and a new GMC pickup. And he still, when a certain young woman catches his eye, the only reason he's polishing that truck now is so he can get her up close. I had one of those trucks that takes two to drive. Right down through town. I mean, that's through the midst. And before, I'd been riding my horse downtown, making it scratch at night and sparks fly from under his. Well, that's another life. That was before the flood. The flood of grace, Pastor.
Amen.
The English language has only one word for love.
Mm-hmm.
Love. I found 9 in the Old Testament, 10 in the New Testament. I've arranged these into 4 categories. Now, the King James translators did not use the word lust in these passages because it starts out normal, natural affections.
Mm-hmm.
Love. Natural physical attraction or affections. And we're looking at love now, and I've settled in on it. And the first form of love is natural physical attraction or affection, sexual or otherwise, companionship with people. This love is always expressed and can be observed, but it must be controlled by God. You can't control it. Only God can. Samson loved Delilah. Gave away God's power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fellas, listen to me. Why don't he catch on? Every time he tells her where his power is, it's checked out. Challenged. Every time. Why don't he catch it? Listen, just give up to it. She can get your head in her lap and stroke your eyebrows, push on your sideburn gently. You gone. You're just gone.
Right.
You finally suck up all you can get and you say, I want you to marry me. Would you marry me? It's just one more knot cinched down.
Mm-hmm.
She was planning that all the way through. Even had a hope chest. Already collecting stuff up to get on with life. I'm making a point, fellas. Don't look at me like that. Some of you fellas old enough to know exactly what I'm talking about. Amnon loved Tamar, and we get into perversion here. The Bible reads, Amnon loved Tamar. Now, I'm a King James Bible man. It is, to me, it is God's word to English-speaking people. One of 3 manuscripts that people use in all of them. I prefer what's called the received text, or the Greek textus receptus. And the Bible reads, Amnon loved Tamar. That natural love got so perverted so quick, he pulled her up in the bed and raped her. Mm-hmm. Now listen to him. If it's not controlled, you are not above them.
Yeah.
That's the reason pornography is so stupid and dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys got to blame somebody, but to a man, the ones that I have documentation of that raped a woman, all of them attributed to some point in pornography. Of course, psychiatrists leading them to blame somebody, blame the guys that made the nudie books. But it's the truth there. The eye cannot be satisfied with sin. And again, Solomon loved many women, foolishly let them turn his heart from God. Herod loved Herodias' daughter. That's a big one. I can't get started on that. This old God is sitting up there watching that pretty young girl, a woman, do an Asian Oriental belly dance. And obvious happened.
Mm-hmm.
He burned in his lust, so burning his natural thinking. Here comes John Baptist's head in the party on the platter.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he burned in his lust.
Right.
For that woman doing that inviting dance. This normal natural desire does not stop when we come to Christ. I say this normal natural love becomes healthier. Some of us as young men outside of Christ have being past feeling and given ourselves over. But as a Christian, it becomes healthy, normal, and natural. And then in this natural physical attraction, we have the normal desire for things, or we could say ambition. Now, Jesus Christ taught that no man can serve two masters. Matthew 13:22, the care of this life and the deceitfulness of riches is one of the things that causes professing believers to forsake Christ. Ambition. Things. 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world. Didn't say Demas went off into deep sin. He just loved this present world. This normal ambition does not stop at conversion. I say it's keener. Our desire to improve our lives, quality of lives, is and can be and is controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's the reason a fellow becomes a Christian, he's saved, God's Spirit dwells within him. You just look for him to do better. He just normally does better. Which of you would come this morning and take the pulpit and say, I turned to Christ and I started living for Christ and my life is a lot worse? None. Not one of us. So this is control. Secondly, our love of or for a friend. Now, I'm not using the original language words. Most fellows do, but then they got to borrow a word that's a secular word in the Greek, and I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to stick with the Scripture. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times. Chapter 18:24. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's the reason some of you people ain't got many friends. You won't show yourself friendly. Sour.
I'm a Christian. I belong to the church.
That's the reason some people don't want to come to church. Bunch of sour, long-faced hypocrites. He's mad at everything. The brother up in New York, he said, he was quoting him and them and us in our staunch stand, especially on grace. He said, why are you getting mad? Because I'm right!
Yeah.
Sour about everything. Listen, that's not Christianity. That's hypocrisy. This normal desire for friends must be controlled or we will compromise. The only time association is in the Bible is in Isaiah chapter 8. And those people chose being associated with the movers and shakers of that hour, Reason and Remaliah's son. I can't even remember Remaliah's son's name. It's there, and then from there on it just refers to him as Remaliah's son. But they were the political and the religious movers and shakers of that hour. Some of the people of God chose to associate, form confederacies with that bunch. And they chose that over the soft waters of Shiloh.
Mm-hmm.
Now people said, you can't improve on what God's doing.
Right.
Saints coming together and worship.
Amen.
person back into their homes and in society and on their jobs, living for the glory of God and the power of God's Spirit being displayed through them. You can't improve on them. But the political and religious leaders of this hour just know it can't be like this. They can tell you how to improve the condition of this church.
Mm-hmm.
It's a program for what anything you want to try to do. Of course, you've been there and run the program a little bit. Mm-hmm. It just didn't fit the program.
Right.
That leads us into denominationalism, and we're not exempt from that. After all, we are the select of the elect.
Mm-hmm.
We have our little kick off to the side. It winds up being denominationalism. Mm-hmm. John and Jesus both warned the Pharisees, the Pharisees about this. John said, don't say we be Abraham's seed. That's election. Jesus said, don't think to say within yourself we be Abraham's seed. You know what they said? We be Abraham's seed.
Mm-hmm.
They were claiming that rather than the life that's in Jesus Christ. And to them, it really was a dead doctrine. Denominationalism, churchianity, compromising, calling it fellowship. The ecumenical movement's doing well. Ecumenical movement. And then lastly on that point we have patriotism. And I'm glad it's flourished since the days of the 60s, brethren.
Mm-hmm.
I really am glad it's different now than it was then. But it's got to be controlled or we'll wind up like the Hebrews. You remember what they told Pilate?
Mm-hmm.
We have no king but Caesar. So all these things must be controlled or they head us into trouble. Thirdly, the love of and for our family. Listen to Brother Abraham concerning the family, natural family love. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He had to sacrifice the natural before he got to the spiritual. He had a love for his own son, sure. Wanted him to live before God. It's natural love. Don't choke it down. Eli favored his sons. David did not deal with Absalom. Jesus said, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I've come not to send peace, but a sword. I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's friend shall be there of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The greatest blessings and the greatest distresses is within the family. We love our people. We love our family. Cooks try to cut that loose and alienate you from your family.
Mm-hmm.
The love of God does not do that. But it keeps us from compromise. And the Holy Spirit, the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart, keeps us from compromising to get along with our family.
Mm-hmm.
We can have weenie hops and pizza hops and flops and french fries and fish fries and all that family's involved. But when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, standing place there.
Right.
Now, not being mean and ugly, well, you don't straighten people out anyway. People don't straighten people out.
Mm-hmm.
If some wives would just face that. Let me say to you, I saw your eyebrows, sweet wife. Let me give you a proverb. You're going to change it. It's evidence, well documented, opposites attract. Usually get married, and then a lot of them spend the rest of their life making one another miserable trying to change them from the one you married. Well, it don't make sense, does it? Let me give you my proverb on that. He that is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You're still looking at me. All right, I'm not going to look at you now. You know why he won't talk with you? Sure you do. Women, you know why we won't argue with y'all? You won't let us win. Man never wins an argument. Oh, fellas, come on now. I'm not out here by myself. I'm making a point. This, my brother and sister, Christian husband and wives, this must be and is controlled, connected, and carried along by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. It must be controlled. That's God's love. God's love is the first fruit lifted in being the fruit of the Spirit. Look at verse 16. As we walk in the power of God's Spirit, we shall not give in to our natural loves.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 25. If our life is in the Spirit, we will walk in God's love, not controlled by our natural loves. Verse 26, our desire will be to glorify God in our body, not to give in to our natural loves. God's love connects our love. God's love covers our love. God's love controls our love. Do you need God's love? Do you need it to be controlled? Controlling yours? I say, I do.
Amen.
There it is.
It's in us. It's given. It's fruit. It's fruit to be displayed and to be plucked and used and enjoyed by someone. Now here's a fellow with the love of God in him. I was working on a job. A fella named Bobby. Noticed me right away early in the morning. The superintendent came and we started at 6 o'clock and he said, I got an all black crew out here and I need one more man. I said, I'm your man. Went out there and we were working on a scaffold 168 feet high. Bobby came to me right away and he said, I notice you're not talking like us. And I said, no, I got a different language. I don't use the perversion y'all use. He said, I'm going to teach you how to talk. And he caught me in the collar. And he pulled me up close enough I could smell his stinking breath. And he said, say it like this. Those two words. I think it may be the first two words that some of those black people learn. If you know what I'm talking about. Most of you that know. Mm-hmm. Say it like this. And I couldn't believe this happening to me. I don't need this. Mm-hmm. God's love is so in me and so penetrating me and so controlling me, I'm not prejudiced. A little bit later, he caught me again. Pulled me up, pulled my shirt. That time I resisted him a little bit. He said, say it like this. And he told me another word. I went on the word and he did me the third time. He started pulling on me. And I caught his arm and I rolled my piece of tool in my hand like that. I could pull some burr off of his head with it. He turned me loose. And I repented. We come down off the scaffold. On the way down, I'm in repentance. I said, God, help me. I don't want to be like that. And God gave it to me. Handed me repentance. We stopped down on the... I stepped down on the ground and stepped back and looked up. Here comes Bobby down the scaffold looking. Most of the guys come down in a basket, but we didn't... That's too slow to wait on that basket. And he's looking at me under his arm. When he got down, he turned around and I caught him by the shirt and I said, now, we've been playing your game. Let's play it my way. I jerked him pretty good and I said, say it like this. I'm going to teach you how to talk. Say it. I am a sinner.
Amen.
I'm in Christ.
Amen.
His eyes got that big. Mm-hmm. His nose holes went to flaring way out. He said, no, man, you got me all wrong now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making a point. I had to repent.
Yes.
But that love was in there. And that concern for that man's soul was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was there. I suppressed it a little bit. But the overriding power of the Holy Spirit granted me repentance and then give me what to share with that man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray. Father, here we are, your children gathered up to worship you in spirit and truth. And I pray that during this time of worship and instruction in your word, you'd grant your children to see our sufficiency. Who is sufficient for this?
Mm-hmm.
Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. You are our sufficiency. We run out of excuses a long time ago. We have no excuses. We just desire you to instruct us and teach us, draw us closer to yourself, reveal yourself a little more clear to us as our sufficiency. The sinners that have gathered with us this morning, rebuke their spirit, convict their spirit, and show them, they the sinners, you're the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
In doing that, Lord, would you be good to grant them repentance unto life? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I went over about 10 or 15 minutes.
No, he didn't.